entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
The caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up, it's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. On the show where you can find help and hope. And with us on the boards this week is Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
Hello, how are you? And Lynn is on the phone.
Okay, I'm glad you're here. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, isn't it great to hear Bobby's voice again?
Yes, it's great to see his smiling face, and he just helped me because I was totally challenged because I'm trying to get on Facebook Live and the keyboard didn't work.
Battery went dead.
The battery went dead. No, he found an old dusty one somewhere and plugged it in on the other side of the room, there was no letters on the buttons you push.
Oh my God.
There was like three letters on there. You know what? I actually know where the letters are. I didn't think I did.
You took typing.
No, I took typing three times and failed every time.
Yeah, I didn't do so hot either. 37 words a minute, 36 mistakes.
Oh my God.
I had to use one of those little cover things where they hide the keys from you. And
You see, kids are smarter today.
Yeah, it was a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And it's pouring rain out there today.
Yeah, not right this minute. We're having a bit of a lull. I know we really need it, but boy, has it been raining, eh?
Yeah. But, my flowers really need it, and the lake really needs it, so I'm happy about that. But it gets me a little nervous with some of the driving and everything, because it was pretty torrential this morning.
Yeah. I was cooking all morning, so it gave me something to do.
What were you cooking?
I did 15 boiled eggs.
Woohoo!
I know, and then I even made some egg salad. I'm exhausted.
Oh, and somebody has a birthday coming up this week, huh?
Somebody.
It happens to be you.
I know.
So Lynn's birthday is Friday, so everybody wish Lynn a happy birthday.
Yeah, happy will it be.
Yeah. We're going to have a good time.
Always. Hey, look, it's just one more year, eh? Now I can, someone says I look old, I am old.
Oh, stop.
Who cares?
Oh, stop.
I feel good, so you're going to have a great show today.
Great show. We got new listeners. We have Susan from Tampa. We have Vivian from Long Island. And we have Pamela from Austin, Texas.
Wow. Welcome, ladies, from all over the country.
That's very exciting. We're here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, and in Canada, big time.
Yeah. All right, sweetheart, I'll talk to you soon. Have a delicious day.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Is the next caller on the line yet?
Not yet.
Okay. So our next caller that's going to be calling in is Lori West, and she's from Seasons Hospice. I love Seasons Hospice. I'm on the board of Seasons Hospice. I think hospice is so important. We have Seasons Hospice here, and we also have Empath Hospice, who is also wonderful. But I think a lot of people don't really understand hospice and the different things that hospice can do. I know they've been a lot of help to me. They were a lot of help to me. Also, after my mom passed away, I went to a bereavement group there, and it was for people, just for women whose mothers had died. And it was very interesting because there was like 13 of us in the group, and I think 10 of us, our mothers were born in Brooklyn. So it was so interesting, but it was really a wonderful thing. Lori's going to be calling in, and we're going to talk to her. She is like the pro-volunteer over there, the volunteer service manager. Oh, and she's on the phone. Hey, Lori.
Hi. How are you this afternoon?
Joyful and grateful. How are you?
Oh, grateful, too.
It's a good thing. I'm so glad that you're on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting us.
So you've been a volunteer for like 16 years?
Oh, I just became a volunteer manager when I joined Seasons. Uh-huh. Before that, I worked in healthcare administration.
Oh, wow.
For 35 years, and I wanted to get back closest to the patients and families and work with volunteers, so I thought I'd end my career reconnecting with caregivers and families.
Yeah, I think that's such a wonderful thing, and like I said before, you came on the line. People sometimes have a bad name for hospice. They're afraid of hospice. And I don't think they realize all the things that can be done and all the ways that they can get help.
No, and I have been in hospice 16 years, and you get to make a difference every day in the lives of patients and families. And we always need to remember, we're just there to support the family in this final journey of their loved one.
Yeah, and for people to understand, hospice is for the whole family. It's not just for the patient.
Oh, the family is one unit, and it's whoever they decide their family is.
Right.
It could be friend, you know, whatever their
right.
core family is, which they let us know. And then it's one unit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we work with the family members. For about 12 or 13 months following, we do bereavement services with the family members and have bereavement support groups in the community to support those who have lost someone.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing before we talk more about your programs, I want to say people wait too long to go to hospice. They wait until the very end where there'd be so many things that they could take advantage of ahead of time. It doesn't mean you go into hospice and you're going to die in a week.
That's a very good point. We discharge patients.
Yeah, some people actually graduate. I say they graduate from hospice. Yeah.
They said, you discharge patients? And I said, all the time. You know, they get in there. Hospice does such a tremendous job in palliative care. They become stable, and they're in a good place. And so we discharge them. And then whenever they need us, and things might, you know, change
right.
with their health condition, then they come back on service.
Yeah.
But we stay in contact with them, and we'll be there when they need us.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Oh, they don't.
No. So what is a legacy?
If people ask that, and it's interesting, I was telling my mother yesterday, I said, I'm doing this on legacy. And she goes, what is a legacy? And I'm thinking, oh, perfect timing, Mom. Let me rehearse on you. You know, leaving a legacy is a way to capture your life stories, your lessons, your sentiments, your memories, and traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Legacies convey what we want remaining generations to know and understand about our life experiences. They help us remember and heal as we carry on important traditions. And it's a chance, because sometimes in hospice, we have a patient who joins us, and their caregiver, you know, you want to give them a focus. And some of them get so involved in legacy projects. And when you think about legacy projects, people say, you know, what can I do? And I'm thinking, well, we have these legacy books, pamphlets we hand out to patients and families, have a journal, talk to them. What do you want them to remember you by? What are some proudest moments in your life? And it's more, you know, you get a chance to reminisce.
Yeah.
I love reminiscing.
Me too.
And you learn so much from those closest to you. Sometimes at the end of life, they start talking about things that you might not even know.
Exactly.
About. I remember my grandfather talking to me. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that about you.
Yeah.
And so you know they what I start think? Talking and sharing.
You know what I think? What happens too is by the time you guys come in, the caregiver's already burned out. They've been taking care of, you know, so much, and now you're able to give them a little assistance and let them focus on something different.
And that's the whole purpose. It gives them something personal and meaningful to do. And they need to feel like they need it and purposeful instead of just being a caregiver. And lots of times I have heard from caregivers who will say to us, thank you for coming in for hospice. Now I can be a wife and not a caregiver
right,
anymore.
Or a daughter or whatever. That's so important.
Or a daughter. And it's real important to remember that. We're there to support the family. So you want to give them a purpose, the caregivers. And they really get involved. The patients get involved with different types of legacies we do. And it's real important. And it touches your heart.
You know, I want to do with my husband one of those busts of our hands.
Oh, yes. That's very meaningful, where we take molds of their caregivers' hands together.
Yeah.
And we make molds, and it's something that we always have. I always say, when you think about legacy projects, we have so many different kinds that we can work with families on. One of the most popular one is thumbprints. And the patients get to, we do thumbprints on the patients. Sometimes we do the little finger of the caregiver and the patient together.
Aww.
And then we make jewelry.
I heard one necklaces. Time you made a dog tag, too.
Oh, I do dog tags all the time.
Tell our listeners about that.
Well, you get the thumbprint, and they get to pick what color paper, what color ink, and then we cut out the thumbprint, and then we have a glass that goes over it, and then we embed it in different kinds of jewelry, a bracelet, and then keychain. Necklaces, and then sometimes the keychain they just attach to the collars of their dog.
I think that's so cool. Well, Tim was telling me a story one day where you didn't have very much time with a client. It was very, you know, they came the last minute, and this gentleman, they didn't get a chance really to do a legacy project, he said, but one of the nurses or women that was there had this like super lipstick, and she ripped it out of her purse and just started doing thumbprints.
They did, and the nurses at the nurses' station got a file folder, and they did it on that. And then I was able to take that thumbprint and make jewelry for the family.
That's so cool.
And that's a very popular one, are the actual thumbprints. But there's a lot of other different ones that we work with the families with. We have a program, and this is all sponsored through our foundation.
Okay.
Sponsors our legacy program. We also have a program that's called We Honor Veterans, where we work with our veterans on specific legacy projects. And one of the ones that got me very popular was depends on what, you know, if they were in the Navy especially, where they were on a ship, we get a world map and we get little stars.
Oh,
and what they do is they put their stars where they were.
Yeah.
And it's very meaningful. And lots of times we think about, and as I was doing, you know, getting ready for today, I was thinking about, what do I want to leave behind in my legacy? And I asked my mother that same question. And, but this is a great chance, what you want to leave behind, your chance to be able to do that.
Yeah, and think about it now.
That's why I told her. I said, Mom, we have pictures. We need to go through them. We need to write who they are. We have a flag that belonged to my uncle. I never met him, who died in World War II. And the flag's been passed down, getting ready to go to third generation. And we wrote in every letter with which he wrote, we still have.
That's so cool to have those letters, because people don't even write letters anymore.
And we have the letters attached to the flag, and then that way the next generation will know.
Right.
And that's what legacy is. You know, journaling. Another thing that's popular that we do are called memory bears. We do a lot of memory bears. And what that is, they're bears. And the family members will give us a piece of clothing.
Oh, I have a pillow like that. Go ahead.
Do you?
Yeah,
or
my dad's shirt.
Pillows. Yes. And they give us shirts. Or an apron, or a bathrobe that is completely worn out.
Right.
Meaning something that they will all, you know, they give to us. We have seamstress. So at that time, go and make a bear, whatever, we want to do the colors they can choose, and use that. They might make a little shirt or a little vest, or actually sew it into the bear for their family members, and it's a wonderful thing. And then when they pick them up, there's not a dry eye, including mine.
No.
Very meaningful. People like to take something away, and we give them that opportunity. Because when their caregivers are working with their the patient, is they might not think of these things.
Oh,
they're
no.
in caregiver mode. And that's what our opportunity is, where we can make a difference. Our volunteers are very involved with this program, and we're able to work with the families, give them ideas. One other thing that we do a lot is videotape.
I love videotapes.
Or audio tape.
Yeah.
Now, I did one recently. He was very close to his nephew, and his nephew was getting married, and he knew he wouldn't be there for the wedding. And that, you know, is one of those things, and it was beautiful.
You know, I actually had someone interview my mother the last 6 months of her life. And the day of my mother's memorial, the woman brought me 10 CDs of my mother. I'm crying now.
Oh, how wonderful.
And one was on her faith, and one was with me, and one was with my sister, and one she sang all those silly little songs she sang when we were kids. And I can't tell you what a gift that is. When I could just pop that in and hear my mother laughing.
Yes, it is so meaningful. I do a lot of shadow boxes. I did 10 for one family recently. And they're shadow boxes. They're pretty good size, 11 by 14 maybe.
Oh, good.
And pictures.
Yeah.
And I don't cut any, and I use double-sided tape. And we do memory, and sometimes they put flowers in there. And we do memory boxes. We did one recently that was one of our volunteers helped us with it. It was her mother's hair.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And we did it in a little heart and a little saying inside of a shadow box.
It's just so
meaningful.
And
they will always have that forever.
And you know, there's just something about you people that work at hospice. You all have such a calming effect. People that work at hospice are very special, but I just remember when I had hospice with my mother, they just brought me back to what was important.
And it does. And when I first started in the hospice, I was at BayCare 16 years, and when I first came to hospice, I remember people say, well, what do you do for a living? And I would say, I work in hospice. The first thing they do is frown.
Yeah.
So I turn that around now. And they say, well, what do you do? I said, I have the best job in the whole world. I get to make a difference every day.
Yep.
And they go, oh, what do you do? I said, I work in hospice. And it changes immediately that perception.
Right. That's what we need to educate people about, that because it's so important, and it could be so good for a lot of people that don't take that opportunity to even use hospice.
I know. And then, you know, we had a patient recently. Sometimes, you know, hospice patient, people think, you know, 85 and older. They're not. It's people my age, younger, and that type of thing. We had a patient who had ALS, and she was very close to her grandchildren, and they were about 5 and 7. And I did let them do the thumbprints on their grandmother. They made theirs. They did her thumbprints, and they made the jewelry. So we involved the family. And making them sometimes.
Yeah, and that's that, and they'll never forget that.
Very meaningful. But they like to write cards.
Yeah.
And we have a volunteer who had a Hallmark application or computer. And she wanted to make a card for her husband for their next Christmas, for their grandchildren's graduation from high school, or meaningful times in their life. And then you have a memory box. And then their loved one, as something comes up, she just will, you know, pull a card out and distribute it, and they write a note. And you can have that, you know.
It's and that's so
great
simple.
Idea to do. It's so simple.
Yeah.
People think it needs to be something
extravagant,
really involved, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
Oh, and our listeners need to know, it doesn't cost any money for hospice, right?
Oh, no. Hospice is covered by insurance and Medicare.
Okay. So every listener should know that, because I think some do not go because they think they can't afford it.
No, no one's ever turned away.
That's so important.
We take care of anyone. It's wherever their home is.
Yeah, yeah.
Wherever they're homeless. If it's a motel, if they are homeless, wherever they are, we will be there to support them.
That's so important.
In life's final journey. And and it's but you know, supporting the caregivers and helping them do a legacy, and then sometimes they do their own legacy at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
for their children.
Yep. Well, we need to wrap it up, Lori. I'm so glad that you were on the show today. What's the last thing you want to say to my caregivers?
I admire you. I respect you. We love you. And just remember, we're there to support you at each step of the way.
And the website is seasons.org, right?
Yes.
Thanks, Lori. I hope to see you really soon.
Oh, sure. Thank you for letting me join you today.
Have a delicious day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. And now we're going to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211. In Pasco, call 813-280-4383 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents, and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you.
And I think to myself,
what
a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor.
So you know caregivers, I'm doing like 7 online support groups a month now. And on one of the calls last week, one of the caregivers said, you know, I read that affirmation every morning, but I also have it hanging in my guest bathroom. So when people come over and they go in there, they can see that I need a little help. It kind of like opens up the conversation because I feel a little uncomfortable with it. She said, but it's been a very clear factor for people to be able to open up that conversation. I think that's just sometimes what we need. I told you about this a couple of weeks ago, but I need to repeat it because it's just so wonderful. The Alzheimer's Association gave a donation to the Department of Elder Affairs, and you can get an animatronic cat or dog. They're like real. Or an MP3 player loaded with whatever genre music you want. So if you like music from the 20s or the 50s or whatever, you just go to the Department of Elder Affairs in Florida, and on the top left-hand side of the page is a little button, and it says apply for a cat or a dog. And I'm telling you, people, probably about 20 of my caregivers have gotten them already for their loved ones. You have to be caring for someone for dementia, and they have to be living at home. She says, but my mom never sits still, and ever since she got that cat, she'll just sit there for an hour petting that cat, listening to it purr, you know, meows here and there. Another one said when she was given her dog or her cat, I'm not sure which it was, she said, I feel love now. A lot of people are just lonely, and they're there all by themselves, and nobody's touching them, and they're not touching anybody, and we know how important that is. I think some of the people that aren't caregivers, or even the caregivers too, have noticed that during this pandemic and during us feeling like I'm a little disheveled, like things just aren't right, when will things be the same, when will what? And one of my caregivers said to me, Linda, now I know what it must feel like to have dementia. Because it's some of those feelings, you're disoriented, things aren't familiar, your routine is off, a lot of different things. So I think that's something that we all need to think about. And if a little tiny thing like this can help, it's unbelievable. So I have a gentleman that's calling in shortly, and he has, I'm going to hold it up for the people that are watching on YouTube and Facebook, if you can see this. It's called A Caregiver's Guide for Alzheimer's. And it's 200 activities to do with people that have dementia. And I heard about it on one of my support groups. One of the participants told me about it. Or it might have been my co-facilitator, Debbie Self-Savage, I'm not too sure. Said, you can request one of these books for free. So I called up this gentleman. They gave me a phone number. And I called up and I left a message. I left a message with my name and phone number, my name and address. And a couple days later, I get the book. This is a big, thick book. It's like $25 book. He sent it to me for free. I thought it was going to be like a little pamphlet or something. And when it came in the mail, there was a little note attached to it. And he said, I hope this book helps you. And I will continue to send these books out for free for as long as I have a supply. And I'm thinking, how cool is that? So I called him up. And I said, we need to chat. I'd love to have you on the show. From my short conversation with Len, he's a very humble man, but we're going to have a little conversation with him right now because I believe he's calling in this moment. Hello, Len? Len?
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Joyful and grateful. So you just heard me give you the little introduction telling them about this. So tell me about the book, The Caregiver's Guide for Alzheimer's, Staying Connected Through Activities.
Well, the book has over 500 photos that illustrate stage-appropriate, age-appropriate activities And there are 200 activities which are laid out in an easy-to-follow step-by-step format. It's not a medical book. It's not a book that talks about Alzheimer's or gives suggestions or hints or...
Right.
It's strictly activities, for caregivers to do with loved ones. There are eight chapters in the book. One of the chapters deals with creative activities, and you don't have to have any kind of a creative background to do them. There's another chapter on simple activities, which would be activities that you would think of normally if you weren't so busy taking care of your loved ones and
right.
being pressured by so many other things. There are activities around the house. There are games and puzzles. There are activities outside of the house. There are some fun activities to do with food. There's music. And then there's an addendum. And the addendum is one of the things that's getting a lot of attention. It's a little bit different than the rest of the book. And it really deals with setting up a method and form to use when a caregiver is interested in evaluating memory care facilities, assisted mm-hmm. living facilities, nursing homes, or extended care facilities.
Yeah, that's so important. I have something I had made up similar to that I give out of some of my support groups because they don't know where to start or what questions
right.
to ask. And I
that's
love
true.
The book that it's so clear and easy because, like you said, you don't have to be crafty to follow what's going on in here.
You're right.
And I always tried to help my caregivers find good activities. And this one woman, her mom used to be a teacher. Her mom's like 90 years old. And every Monday morning, we give her a piece of poster board and we give her magazines and tell her that the teachers are teaching the kids next week about flowers, Mom. We need you to cut all the flowers out of the magazines and put them on the poster board, no white spots. And it takes her mom like a week to do it. But it gives her time to sit down, and the woman actually started bringing it to the school, and the kids started sending thank you notes. So
that's a great idea.
I love that. So I noticed on the side of this book here, it says that the author is in his name. So talk to me about
that's
that.
Correct. Yes. I started the book about 4.5 years ago, and as I was doing it, I really realized I didn't have the skills, the talent, the knowledge, and all of the abilities to undertake such a task. I barely know how to use a computer. But it is my belief that the Lord has directed me to do this, and I also know that He's motivated me to do this. And when that happens, He always provides me with people and resources to complete the task at hand, and
exactly.
That's exactly what happened. And like one of the people that really helped me a lot was my wife. She has spent tireless hours editing the book 4 or 5 times, and she's also reviewed each activity step by step to make sure that it makes sense. She's very sequential, and I'm very random, so that was really
that's really important.
Oh yeah. There's another lady, Jan Pandy, another major contributor. She's very positive and creative and highly motivated person. And she volunteers to direct an Alzheimer's activity group at the Covenant Methodist Church in the Villages. And as a former teacher, has contributed a number of the activities to the program. And then she's also helping with the getting the book out.
Yeah. But what made you decide to write this book? I mean... put this book together. Did you have someone? Were you dealing with someone with a dementia? You just, what happened?
Yes. About 8 years ago, I started volunteering, doing respite care.
Okay.
Spending 3 hours a week at an individual's home and providing some care. I knew I was there to take care of their safety and security and make sure that they are well. But I really wanted to bring them some sense of joy during that time. And when I went out searching for resources to use, I couldn't find them.
Right.
I looked everywhere. I looked in bookstores. I looked online. I did everything I could. I could find occasional thing, but nothing that was enough for me to be able to carry through these activities.
I like so much that it's so clear and easy, because sometimes there'll be somebody who'll write a book about dementia caregiving and they'll have a chapter and they'll have a couple, two, three little activities in there, but I don't want to read through all that other stuff. I don't want to have to look for that.
Yeah, this is just as it happened. And the thing that I found out, which I was really shocked about, was that if I wanted to do three or four activities, or had three or four activities with me to do, you know, where a loved one might not be interested in one, but I might be able to move on to another.
Right.
It would take me a long time to put these together. And that's the kind of time that caregivers don't have available for
exactly.
them. So that's how it gets started.
Wow, that's really interesting. So how are you getting the book out there?
Well, it's interesting. The first premise in getting the book out is we did not want to have any barriers that would keep people from being able to get the book if they need the book or want the book.
Okay.
So the first thing that we're doing is and we've just started this for a few weeks, we wanted to get these books out to people free of charge.
Okay.
And it's our goal to get out 1,000 books free of charge, and to date, working with my wife, Jan Pandy, another volunteer, Marilyn Annell, who's a retired pastor, we've distributed close to 600 books.
Excellent.
At the same time, we've just started to initiate efforts to try to find an organization or a foundation that might provide us with some source of funds to continue to be able to cover the cost of print and distributing the book. And we've all taken pledges that we will not receive any financial compensation, any revenue, or any financial considerations of any type relative to the book. And it's all going to go towards printing and distributing. And currently, that runs around $12 a book.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people that listen to my show are caregivers, but there's also a lot of people in the industry that listen to this show. So if somebody's out there and they have an idea and you want to sponsor something, that's good. This would be, and even if a couple want to get in together, this could be a great opportunity, because I see this is going to be kind of book that's going to stick around for a while, because you're going to go back and you're going to refer to it, and then you're going to show it to your neighbor, and then you're going to, you know, pass it on. And I just love how it's so simple. Because caregivers really need that simplicity. They got enough to do. They can't be having to worry about making anything harder than it already is. So,
well,
Len, if someone would like a free book that's listening to the show, can they send me a message to my website and I could forward it to you?
That's a great idea. They can call me direct. If it's all right, I can give you my phone number.
Yes, that you can give your number?
603-860-6979. And they could also try carereconnect.com, which I just put up as a beginning website,
right,
and leave a message with their name and address on it, and then I'll send them a copy, and I'll send each person a copy free of charge as long as the supplies last.
That's wonderful. And so you can do it those two ways, or you can go to lindaburhans.com and send me a message, and I'll pass it on to Len. I will also have all his information will be in the description of the show, so people that come back and listen to the show later on will have all that information. So I'm really glad that we hooked up, Len. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
Likewise.
And I will put the word out to people that I know that are in the industry, and see what maybe we can find you some people to sponsor this book.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. I appreciate you finding me and asking me to be on your show, and I'd love to work with you in the future.
So one last thing, Len. What's one last thing you want to say to our caregivers?
I don't know. I guess the whole idea is to, like you've said, make sure you take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So you can be well enough to care for your loved one.
Thanks so much, Len. I appreciate it. Have a delicious day.
Thank you, and you too.
Yeah, I just love it. There's some pretty awesome things in here. But I can't talk about that right now because it's time to listen to hear from our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
And you know what it means when you hear that? It's time to get your paper and pen because I have good stuff to tell you. So Alexander Spine Center in Seminole is giving complimentary chiropractic treatment, including examination, x-rays, and adjustments to all Pinellas County policemen, firefighters, doctors, nurses, and paramedics. Free help. So please contact them. They're on Park Boulevard in Seminole, and their number is 727-397-3000. Alexander Spine, 727-397-3000. Also this Friday at Curves in Seminole on Seminole Boulevard from 8 to 1 is a blood drive. Please participate in that. They really need blood right now. Also, I just was told about a new exercise class that you can do it right online. And it's $35 for 4 weeks, and it's all about increasing energy, mobility, flexibility, you know, helping your joints. So you can go to www.dancingfromtheinsideout.com. So a lot of us have been stuck in the house, and, you know, maybe you can just move around a little bit, get your loved one to move around. I'm sure you will feel a lot better because some people were getting a little sedentary there, and that's not such a good thing because you have to move to groove, and like I always say, if you rest, you rust, and that's not good. And then this week, this Thursday, June 11th at 10 o'clock, I will be presenting via Zoom the Dementia Dance, When to Lead and When to Follow, because sometimes it's a waltz, but most times it's a jitterbug. So we're going to talk about some things. If you're new to someone that has dementia or if you're seasoned or whatever, I'm sure we always can learn something new because I learn something new every day myself. So you can find that information on my website, lindaburhans.com, or you can also find it on my Facebook page. So I wanted to just say to the caregivers how proud I am of all of you during this time, because this has been an extremely difficult time and continues to be an extremely difficult time. Many people have told me that their loved one has taken a big decline since the COVID. People that have had that have dementia that are so out of their norm and that are maybe afraid of masks and a whole different thing. A lot of new paranoia has come out. I'm very sad to say that my uncle passed away the day before yesterday, my Uncle Jimmy. He had dementia, among some other things. He was my favorite uncle. I used to send him letters and candy when he was in Vietnam, when I was in the 4-H. And we had a very special relationship. So spend the time with your loved ones now, not worrying about, are they eating this, or are they taking all their medicine, or are they going to the bathroom? Spend some time just chatting with them. Spend some time just reminiscing. A lot of us can't go out of the house, but we all have telephones. And it's not like when I was a kid, it was really expensive to make a phone call, and you only called on Sunday afternoons. There was only one phone, so we have no excuses with that. We can make a phone call. We can send a text. You all know a caregiver. I know you all know a caregiver. Could you just call them up today and tell them what a great job they're doing? Or just go out and do something nice for them? I think you can do that, and I think it would mean a lot to somebody else. Sometimes just like a little break in the movement. And try to remember that your loved one needs to have some kind of purpose. Well, everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to be part of a group. Everybody wants to feel some kind of productivity. So get that book. You can get it for free. Just contact me through the website. There's tons of wonderful activities in here. I find that the people that I know that are most engaged are the ones that are the happiest. You can look at two different people, and they can both have the exact same diagnosis, and one is engaged and one is not, and you're going to see a different light in the eye of the person that's engaged. I know many people were freaking out during this time if their loved one was going to adult daycare because they were so used to going there every day, or as we call it, the club. We don't want to call it adult daycare. And just that opportunity for them to get back into adult daycare this week has been wonderful, but also challenging for the adult daycare places. There's a lot of things you have to keep in order to keep everyone safe. I continue to ask you to wear your mask. I know I don't like it either, but it's important. It's very important, especially when you're going in stores. I'll tell you, if I owned a store, I wouldn't let people in unless they had a mask on. You can take it off as soon as you get out of the store. But respect yourself and others. We have a lot, especially in Florida where I live, there are a lot of senior people. And there are a lot of people that are really very vulnerable. And you just don't want to pass on anything like that. I went back to Curves the week before last. It's been kind of cool, but it's limited to only 10 people in the gym at a time so that we can all social distance properly. But I felt like a new person getting back into the world again. Because all this time I've been home with the broken arm and then the COVID and everything. And, you know, preparing this presentation this week for the dementia dances, for the people out there that really know me or have already seen me before, when I do a presentation, I'm talking back and forth. I don't stand still. Well, now I got to be in front of a screen. And now when I tell a joke, I won't hear anybody laughing. So it's a whole different thing for me. It really is a whole different dynamic. It's just like it's a whole different dynamic being in the station without Lynn and not having any guests in the station. You know, it's just a whole, I'm getting a little better at that, although that's not how I want it to be. I want Lynn back in the station with me. I want my guests back in the station with me. But it is what it is. It is what it is. And that's funny. It is what it is. My husband always says it is what it is. And that's all we can say right now. We just got to keep our best foot forward. We have to know that we'll get through everything that's going on together. And maybe this has been a whole thing to just slow us down a little bit. I find some people now they're getting kind of used to it. They said, I don't know if I really want to go back to that rat race again. I don't know if I really want to be running around all the time. They've enjoyed being at home. People have enjoyed doing even like networking meetings on Zoom. You don't have to get dressed up. You don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to find somewhere to park. You don't have to pay money for lunch. And the time is a lot less. I mean, if you got to drive a half hour to somewhere to go to a networking meeting, you got to drive a half hour back. So I think after this pandemic, some things are going to stay as is right now. And I think some will be half and half. I know me, I look forward to doing my in-person support groups because there's nothing like giving somebody a hug or be able to look them right in the eye. It's not the same as with Zoom. But then Zoom has had this wonderful capability that now I can have caregivers in my support group from everywhere. Doesn't have to be just from my town or the next town. We have some caregivers coming to the group from Canada. We have some from California. And that's a wonderful thing because there are some caregivers that are located in places, too, that there just aren't any support groups near them. There was one woman that called me, oh, this is probably like 6 months ago, and she lives, I don't know, in the woods somewhere. And she said, Linda, the nearest support group to me is an hour and 45 minutes away. So you know that's never going to happen. A caregiver can't even get that amount of time off. It's like a whole day event. She said, so a few weeks ago, she goes, I was in the doctor's office and I was complaining to the lady sitting next to me, who is, of course, is another caregiver, and they decided to start their own caregiver group. So what they do is every Saturday they listen to the show, every Tuesday they listen to my Tuesday tip, every week they read the new blog that's on my website, and then five of them get together and have a little meeting and just talk about it. So it's not rocket science. It's just finding out information, finding out new things, and sharing. And so I hope you will continue to do that. And you know what the thing is, too? As far as a caregiver support group on Zoom, you can come in. We don't even have to see your face. You can just black it out. We don't have to see you. Some caregivers have been coming, and they just want to listen. And that's fine. Because in a live support group, it's kind of hard to just to go in there and sit down and not say anything and just listen. Where you can do that with an online group. So think about that. All the information is on my website, lindaburhans.com or connectingcaregiversradio.com, either one. I do some by myself. I co-facilitate some with Debbie Self Savage. I am also looking forward to, I'm planning to start, I think I'm going to do a journaling workshop on Zoom. A lot of caregivers have talked to me about journaling. I know journaling really helped me through my journey. In fact, my first book, Good Night and God Bless, was from my journaling. And it's part of the reason I'm here where I am today, because I wrote Good Night and God Bless, a lot of it from my journals and from my calendar. And when the book was published, I went out to promote the book. And every time people came up to me crying, saying they needed help. So here we are, 1,700 support groups and workshops later, over 3 years on the radio show. And I am the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. So thank you so much for your time this week. You know how much I appreciate you. Be good to yourselves. Remember, God loves you all the time. And have a delicious day.
Above you should turn dark and full of clouds. And that old north wind should look in the blow. Your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call out my name and you know. Summer or fall, yeah. All you got to do is call.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.